You hear lots of voices in any political campaign, and after a while they can all blend together, except that occasional voice that provides perspective and difference and a lift, inspiration. Such is one of the voices chosen to speak on behalf of Bernie Sanders in the run-up to the California primary. Our next guest appeared in a video ad promoting the Sanders campaign, and the lift comes from his own story of redemption. Before he was even an adult, Chris Wilson was looking at a life sentence to prison and all that implies. Well, he's out of prison. He's working and inspiring people, and he's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Chris Wilson from Baltimore, thanks for joining us here.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
You were the product of a really tough neighborhood in Washington, D.C. Give us just a general sketch, if you would.
It was really, really tough environment. Around the time of the late 80s, early 90s, we had a homicide rate in Washington, D.C. that was almost 500. And so there were literally shootings every single day in my neighborhood. So it was a pretty tough place.
Wow, so 500 a year, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So by age 17, you're off to prison. What happened?
Yeah, so it was like a series of events that happened. I lost a lot of friends, shot at a couple of times. My mom was sexually assaulted by a police officer, and our family was constantly stalked. And this police officer was responsible for it. And so I became hypervigilant and started carrying a firearm. And a few months later, you know, some people came after me, you know, people in their 30s, you know, came after me, surrounded me, and I just panicked and I started, I opened fire and I ended up taking a person's life.
Wow. Not something you hear from a person you interview every day.
Right.
But you were, up until that point, I mean, you'd been a good student. I mean, you'd been doing good things with your life, hadn't you?
Yeah. So it's like a mix. So it's pretty hard to pay attention in school. So I played competitive chess, I played the cello, I ran track. But, you know, if you see your friend gunned down, shot 10, 15 times, and then my grandmother would wake me up and say, all right, Chris, now go to class. How do you pay attention in class? Like, how do you stay focused? So it wasn't like there was therapy for us or anything. They just expected us to get over it. And it was just really difficult for me to even be successful as a student or just as a person living in the community.
You had lost several people close to you, hadn't you?
Yes. Yes. I mean, eventually, I lost more people. You know, my mom committed suicide. My dad was killed. You know, I think I was 18 when my dad was killed. And, you know, my mom committed suicide a few years ago. So I lost a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I'm really sorry about that. But here at age 17, when you had killed somebody, you were sentenced to life in prison, right?
Yes. Yes. I mean, that's another thing. Another reason why I became a criminal justice reform advocate. Because our criminal justice system in this country is messed up, and we need to fix it.
Well, one of the things that people are talking about changing is just the kind of thing that could have happened to you, and we'll find out why it didn't. But I mean, right. The idea of sentencing people when they are juveniles to a life in prison is something apparently that even the left and right can agree upon is not necessarily
right.
A good thing.
Right. There's a big conversation happening right now about trying to change those policies where you take a child whose brain isn't developed and say that they can't be fixed when it's clear, when the science supports that they don't have their prefrontal cortex isn't developed enough for them to make smart decisions. And so, and we judge them based on that and send them away for the rest of their life. And that's wrong. I mean, we all can agree that that's wrong.
So were you sent to adult prison?
Yes, instantly.
Wow. And so what, I mean, you get inside the walls of a prison and you're looking at potentially a life inside. What,
right.
What kinds of things did you think about in terms of the direction you could choose from there?
So, I mean, it was very, very scary for me. And I remember my trip just going to prison. I was in a dark truck, paddy wagon, and my legs just kept shaking. And I just was super nervous. And keep in mind, I was 119 pounds when I went to prison. And once I arrived, we had people, you know, over 6 feet tall, been lifting weights for 30 years. It's almost impossible to defend yourself from people. And so I looked at it as, you know, a chess game. I was a chess player. So I said, I got to think my way out of this situation. And that's what I was able to do. I started lifting weights, though, eventually, and put on 40 pounds of muscle. But it was a strategy. It was a mind game.
Wow. So 119 pounds. That is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
we can laugh about it now.
Yeah.
Chris Wilson's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He appeared in a Bernie Sanders video. He's an entrepreneur and has been done a lot with his life since his life sentence to prison in D.C. years ago. Talk about the work you did in prison to give yourself an education, the direction you did choose.
Yeah. So you know, about a year into prison, I was fed up. I was depressed because I just couldn't believe that I had to spend the rest of my life there. And so I decided that, you know, my oldest brother, like my family started coming to see me. My oldest brother sent me a letter. In the letter, he said, you know, we don't really know what to say to you because you have life. You probably have everything that you ever had or, you know, love taken away from you. But maybe you should, you know, develop your knowledge, build an education and go back to school because nobody can ever take that from you. And that resonated with me. And so I decided to write up this master plan of like getting my high school diploma, going to college, studying foreign languages and just everything. And it all happened. I mean, it sparked after I started this plan. And 2 months later, I got my high school diploma. Now, mind you, like I hadn't paid attention in school in like 3 or 4 years. And I was able to learn all that information in a short period of time and just knock the test out the water. And so I just started pursuing my education. College, I did all the vocational. I learned foreign languages. I started teaching foreign languages. And I just realized that, you know, I could really learn. I can apply myself. And I just kept doing it. And that's how I was able to eventually earn my freedom.
As a kid, I mean, you listed the reasons why it was hard to pay attention in high school. But, I mean, how different was your level of concentration to your studies when you were in prison?
So, it actually provided a space for me to focus because it was like nothing in there. So you go to school, you exercise, and, you know, that's it. But the material that I was reading, I remember taking a history class, and the history professor actually came into the prison, and it was about the French Revolution. He was talking about Napoleon and, you know, these historical events that happened over there. And I realized at that moment that reading books and going to school was a way for me to escape prison mentally. And so when I got up in the morning and I went to school, I was no longer in prison. And so as a result, I spent most of my day in prison or in the gym. And it was rewarding for me. I would escape. You know, I'm a dreamer, a journal. Like, I like to journal a lot. And it was just an experience for me, a positive experience for me.
Chris Wilson, how much help did you get and from whom?
So I met a guy when I first went to prison who also was serving a life sentence, a guy named Stephen Edwards, really smart guy, math whiz, actually. And he taught me a lot of algebra and geometry and trigonometry and stuff, and just mentored me and tutored me for a couple of years. And one day he looked at me and he was like, "How come all your socks have holes in them?" And I said, "Well, because I don't have anything. I don't have any family support, whatever, but I'm not worried about that." And so he talked to his parents about me. And so his parents sent me some clothes. They started sending me books. And eventually they started visiting me, and they would give me a book budget. They'll buy me books every month from Amazon. And then they just stayed in my life and they loved me as if I was their own son. And they're still with me to the day.
That's amazing to get that kind of support. I mean, that's rather unusual support in your life, it sounds like.
Right. And that's a good point. So that's something that I advocate, too. You know, I'm actually in the process of doing a book deal. And one of the things, the messages that I want to carry forward is there's a lot of Chris Wilsons all over this country. But it took a handful of people to put their faith in me and support me and trust me. And that's the only reason I was able to make it out through prison. So I did my work. I studied, I learned, but they encouraged me. They prayed for me and they showed me love. And it just made me feel valued. And now today when I'm out, I give back to others because that's what saved me.
So it is the Chris Wilson story, but it's a story that involves more than just Chris Wilson.
Right. Absolutely. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them.
Chris, what were the circumstances that got you back before a judge at some point to be talking about things like you getting released?
Right. So I had been denied 5 times for modification of sentence while I was in there, because usually when you get a life sentence, you stay in there, you die in prison. But I chose not to believe it. I called it a positive delusion. So I chose to believe that I would get out one day. And so if I was getting out one day, I wanted to be prepared. And so my attorney had was diagnosed with cancer, so he was battling cancer, and there was a young lawyer who just graduated law school working in the office, and I would still write my lawyer and send it to the secretary hoping she would give these letters to my lawyer. And so this young attorney just started reading my letters and decided to come visit me, and he did this for years. His name is Q Shostak, and he would just talk to me. And then, like, eventually, you know, I was mentoring a young guy from El Salvador, and he says, "I never hear you talk about God, Chris." He was like, "Maybe that's what's missing, because you got everything else right, but, like, I never hear you talk about it." And I was religious, and I believed in God, but I just didn't understand his ways. And it's like, well, how can God allow something to happen to my mom? How could God allow these stray bullets to take away my friends? But I started praying and reading my plan off to God. And it says, if you show me a sign, I'll get out of prison and I'll turn my life around. And I kid you not, 2 weeks later, my lawyer came to see me. He says, I don't know what happened, but the judge wants to see you. And she called me back into the courtroom, and they reduced my sentence under the condition that I finished my plan. And so I interpret it as the sign, and I've had several signs since then.
Well, that's pretty impressive. Chris Wilson, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He appeared in a Bernie Sanders ad in the run-up to the California primary with his own inspirational story. When you – so how much time did you actually spend in prison?
16 and a half years.
Mm-hmm. So almost half your life up to that point.
Yeah, almost half of my life, yes.
Wow. And so who was waiting for you? What kind of support structure did you have once you got outside the prison? You mentioned Stephen Edwards' family.
Yeah, so his family was there for me. I had a friend that I knew from childhood. He was there for me. He provided a nice, soft couch for me to sleep on, which was good. And I just went from there. I just, you know, got into college. The college helped me find a job. You know, I did my research on interviewing. I went on Google and stayed up all night and learned how to tie a tie, watching YouTube videos. just anything I can do, like just to make it. So, and things worked out.
So what are you doing now? What did you work into? Did you get a job when you first got out?
Yeah. So it took a while. It took about 2 months actually, which is good for a returning citizen. But so I got a job doing community organizing, and then I got promoted like a month later to doing workforce development work. And I got a raise. They started me off with like a nice salary with healthcare benefits. And then I got promoted to director like 7 months later doing workforce development work. You know, helped a lot of people get jobs, over 200 people. And then I just went into business because my plan dictated that I start companies and I build companies and create opportunities. So I just got into business. I started a furniture restoration and upholstery company. And then I went on to start a construction contracting company.
And so are you getting close to the end of the master plan? And if so, are you starting to add things to the end of it just so you have more goals to shoot for?
Well, yes. So I added a few things to it, but I think I can have it done in about 4 years. So 4 more years, but knowing me, I'll probably add some stuff to it because it's so rewarding to wake up in the morning, to have like a sense of purpose and know you have to work towards something. So I'll probably never stop, but the original plan should be done in about 4 years.
Mm. Chris, how'd you end up in the Bernie Sanders ad?
It's interesting. So I became friends with Ben Jellist, ex-president of NAACP. I started doing business with him through my furniture company and both companies, actually. A lot of his friends supported my companies and stuff, and we would often just talk about ideas and stuff. And he would ask me, you know, some of the same questions that you asked me, like, what was it that helped you turn your life around? What are some things that we can do to actually change our community here in Baltimore City? And it was education. And, you know, when you look at the landscape, you know, about what everyone's talking about, you know, Bernie Sanders was talking about free public tuition in college, raising the minimum wage. And these were all things that helped me, you know, turn my life around. And it was education. And then I thought about that, about what my community here in Baltimore would look like if everyone had an opportunity to get a good education. Because oftentimes people out here in the streets, like, we got a lot of crimes, a lot of drugs and stuff, but people don't have that opportunity. If people had education, they would go get a job, but they can't get it. And so that's when I decided, I said, well, you know, I'll do the video. I want to do it, you know.
Had you ever been politically motivated in quite that way before?
I mean, well, not that much. I think this is probably my biggest, like, political. I try to stay politically neutral as much as possible and just focus on just business and just, you know, generating business and creating opportunities. Although I will say 3 months ago, the state of Maryland had recently overturned a law that's saying that returning citizens couldn't vote till like after they're mandatory. So we overturned that. And so I voted for the first time in my life 3 months ago for the mayor candidate here in Baltimore City. And that was just such an amazing experience because getting out of prison, you know, they expect you to pay taxes, they expect you to get a job. You actually have to pay to be on parole and probation, but we can't vote. So it's that feeling of feeling invisible.
I remember that.
Yeah, invisible.
Yeah, I remember that. Maryland and Virginia both were talking about restrictions on felons being able to regain their voting rights. And
right.
You saw what Virginia's governor did, and he just said, "We're doing it."
Right.
Well, so all right. So you got into the Bernie Sanders video. How are you feeling today about the results yesterday and the general state of things?
Well, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I think at the end of the day, I'm a practical person. And so what I align myself with, I still stick to my policies about education and stuff, and I'll continue to do that. You know, I try not to get too drawn in with everything. I never speak bad about any other candidates and stuff. And I think at some point, like if he doesn't win, then I'm pretty sure he'll make the right decision and help to unify the party and just do the right thing.
Will you stay involved in politics? I mean, now that you've voted for the first time and spoken on behalf of a candidate, is it the kind of thing you think you'll keep doing, or are you going to stay focused?
I think it's healthy to stay aware of politics. I'm not really sure that I'll be getting involved in politics, but I'll stay aware. I'll keep my eyes and ears open and pay attention to the landscape because it's important. And I encourage everyone else to do the same. It just makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it's your future. You got to think about your children, you know, your taxes and the landscape of your environment. It just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. We have a quick question from Ann in Eugene, Oregon. Welcome to The Exchange with Chris Wilson.
Thank you. I really admire the fortitude that you've shown in turning your life around. We have an example of that in Oregon. We have a very successful company called Dave's Killer Bread. And Dave spent time in prison, and now this successful business hires, I think the figures I've read are about one-third of his employees are ex-cons. So I was wondering if you hire ex-cons in any of your businesses.
All right. Thanks for that, Ann.
Thanks, Ann. Absolutely. I'm actually, like, if you Google me, I'm known for that. And I didn't start out that way, saying that I just want to hire exclusively people that came up from prison. It's just that the landscape in Baltimore City was so bad that, you know, a large percentage of people had spent time in prison. And so it was just like, okay, these are the people that need help the most, so I'll choose to help them.
All right. Well, it's a very inspiring story, and we hope to hear more from you down the road. If you get that book deal done and get the book written, we'll for sure want to have you back to talk about that.
Nice. Thank you.
Chris Wilson, pleasure to meet you, and best of luck in all you do.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.